The epistle is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us give no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in a word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming in said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, All of these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the turning points of World War II, my dear friends, was when the Allied troops defeated the powerful Field Marshal General Rommel in North Africa. Unfortunately, though, even though we succeeded in defeating him and pushing him back, it was not before we lost many lives of our soldiers. And sadly, part of this loss could have been easily avoided. There was among the dead an overconfident young soldier who assumed that he knew more than his officers and more than the sergeants who had trained him. Throughout his training, as for all the soldiers, when they were preparing for desert warfare, they were repeatedly warned by their officers to not light up their cigarettes in the middle of the night. This one soldier, though, quickly realized that he could get his cigarette lit without his officer seeing the flash from the match. And so during his training here on the stateside, he would often smoke to calm his nerves, and he was pleased with his ability to keep this from his officers. When he did finally make it to Africa, he kept up this habit. One night he was ordered to crawl out into the middle of the desert and to take up a watching position. Well, once he arrived there, he cupped his hands around his matches and lit his cigarette. But this was all the light that the German machine gun operators needed. They saw that flash and mowed down he and the entire band of soldiers that were in his area. What a terrible loss of life came from that one man's disobedience to the warning of his officers and to his great attachment even to something that was not sinful in itself. And the story reminds us of the great lesson we are to learn from today's gospel. The lesson is that there are things in our lives that the world, the flesh, and the devil can and will use to try to lead us into sin, even if these things are not sinful in themselves, such as smoking of a cigarette. The forces of Satan have a one-track mind to get us to sin. No matter what that means, no matter what the cost, no matter what they have to use. And their way of getting us, leading us into temptation and hoping that we will then fall into sin is what we call occasions of sin. We see in today's gospel how Lucifer tried to use occasions of sin on our Lord. He used first a heap of stones to try to get our Lord to break a secret that was not for Lucifer to know. You see, God willed that up until the moment of our Lord's death, when the gates of heaven were reopened, Lucifer never knew for sure whether or not Christ was true God and true man. He did not know if he were God who could open the gates of heaven, or if he were just a very holy and virtuous man. Then after seeing our Lord fast with no food and no drink for 40 days, Satan was on high alert. He knew that only by the power of God could this have happened, and he was consumed with the idea of finding out if this man were the God-man or not. And so that is why he tempted our Lord to prove that he was God by turning the stones into bread. But our Lord would not work at the suggestion of Satan. He knew what the will of his Almighty Father was, and so he did not pay him any heed. But it's good for us to remember that in this monumental battle between the will of God and the will of Satan, between the forces of evil and the will of God on earth, Satan used something as simple as a pile of stones to try to lead our Lord into sin. The next lesson we can learn comes from the next temptation that Satan put upon our Lord. We read that after that temptation, our Lord was then tempted to again prove that he was the Son of God by falling down from the top of the temple and making the angels come and bear him up, lest he dash his foot against a stone. But again, this was the request of Satan. This was something that would have helped Satan figure out the answer to his question. And so our Lord once again referred to the will of God, that we are to let God act as he pleases, and we are not to tempt him or to try to force his hand. We are not to act rashly and assume that God will then have to work extra hard or work a miracle to keep us safe. And so in the final temptation from the gospel, Lucifer made it very clear what he was up to when he, in his audacity, showed our Lord every material possession and said that he would give each one of these to our Lord if only he would fall down and adore him, if he would give him the worship that was due to God alone. It was then that our Lord told him to be gone, and that it was God alone who we are to adore. In these three temptations, then, my dear friends, we see the different workings of Satan. We see that he preyed upon our Lord's hunger by having him turn the stones to bread. We see that he tried to see if our Lord had pride by seeing that if he would stand up against God or force God's hand, as it were, to save him. But throughout it all, our Lord, of course, persevered. and he showed us how we are to act when occasions of sin arise. We are to consider the will of God in all things. Now, often when we hear the word occasions of sin, we think that it relates, of course, to things that might lead us against holy purity. And that is one section of occasions of sin. But there are many, many occasions of sin which we must be on guard against. For instance, if we realize that the daily news and its slanted portrayal of facts is leading us to anger or frustration, then we must find another means of occupying our time. If by chance the good fortune of another is making us envious or jealous, we must thank God for his goodness towards that person, and we must pray to God that he would give us the graces we need as well. At times, the importunity or the bad manners of another may be an occasion of sin towards impatience or pride. Maybe one's cross or injurious words or actions are an occasion towards anger or hatred. These things we must avoid as occasions to sin. Any person, place, or thing that leads us towards any sin must be avoided. And of course, as I mentioned, the greatest occasions that must be avoided with all of our might are those which would lead us against holy purity. It is no secret that in the world today, modern technology has been hijacked, as it were, by the forces of Satan, and the advancements which could produce so much good often only produce evil. In these things, we must be extra vigilant. That is, when it comes to things like our phone, our tablet, or our computer, we must make sure that these things never lead us away from God. These things can be used for great good. For instance, if a priest is out traveling and he receives a text that there's a dying person in his area, and he uses the GPS on his phone to lead him to the hospital and provide the sacraments to that soul with not a moment to lose, then this is an eternally good use of that technology. It's a wonderful effect of man's ability to rapidly exchange information. But sadly, for every such good effect, who can calculate how many terrible effects there are to the unguarded use of technology? We must then, whatever the occasion arises, whether it be the use of technology, whether it be a person with whom we have to live or work, whatever the occasion might be, we must pray for the grace to do the will of God in all things. And when we hear throughout sermons or instruction that we are to avoid the occasion of sin, we must take this seriously. And what then are we to do when we are come upon by an occasion of sin? Well, if the battle is incessant with these occasions, and if it has to be fought and won, then there must be a plan to follow. And that plan is the one set down for us by the example of our Lord in today's gospel. The first thing that he teaches us is not to give a moment's consideration to anything that Lucifer sets before us. Even though Lucifer tempted our Lord and added the words of sacred scripture to these occasions to try to persuade him to act, our Lord paid him no attention. He preserved that one idea throughout: what is the will of God? Was it the will of God that the stones be turned to bread? Was it the will of God that he should be forced to send his angels to help our Lord? And finally, was it the will of God that Lucifer should be adored? The answer to each question was no, and so our Lord paid these questions no heed. This was his guiding way, to see if the will of God would be done in that action. And so for us, when we come upon occasion of sin, we should ask ourselves, should I be thinking about this right now? Should I be saying this right now? Or should I be doing this thing right now? These questions will help us to see whether or not it is the will of God, And if it is, then we are free to do it. If not, then it is an occasion of sin and the first step on the way to temptation. It's a very serious matter, saving our souls, my dear friends. It's the most serious matter we have in our lives. It takes a great amount of care, and it takes a great amount of prayer. So be vigilant then, and pray for the strength to be on your guard. For as the Baltimore Catechism tells us, unless we are on our guard, occasions of sin will lead us to sin. And by being on our guard means that we keep in mind what is the will of God. If anything opposes that will, then we must pray for the grace to avoid it. We have the entire court of heaven ready and willing to answer our prayers. We must call upon them then for our aid. And we can see that their help will be forthcoming as it was for our Lord himself. For after he showed that perfect fidelity to God's will, not only in fasting for 40 days, but also in combating Satan, immediately angels came and ministered to him. Which reminds us that if we act in like manner, God will send his grace to come to our aid. Be vigilant then, do not be terrified by Satan or his determination, for Our Lady and her determination to save your soul is far greater than his. But you must do your part. You must be on guard, and in this holy and penitential season of Lent, when you have to practice so much vigilance and self-control, use it as a means of making reparation for sin. For avoiding occasions of sin takes a great deal of work. It takes a great fidelity to Christ, who lived, suffered, and died for us. And so, if you offer up all this for him, in payment for that love and mercy that he has shown first, he will see to it that you win that salvation, which shall be yours forever to enjoy. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.